The Waymo stories this week give us a concentrated look at where autonomous vehicle deployment actually stands right now and the gap between the marketing narrative and the operational reality. In Miami Beach, two Waymo robo-taxis drove into a configuration where each vehicle blocked the other's path and neither could resolve it without human intervention. The standoff required human assistance to clear. And in Dallas, a man died after being struck by an SUV and thrown into an unoccupied Waymo vehicle, technically the first fatal incident since the service launched in Dallas, though the Waymo was not moving at the time of the accident.
These two incidents illustrate different categories of autonomous vehicle challenge. The Miami Beach standoff is a software problem. The vehicles couldn't negotiate a multi-agent conflict that a human driver would resolve through eye contact and judgment in about 4 seconds. The Dallas fatality is a different kind of issue. A parked autonomous vehicle becoming involved in a fatal incident due to someone else's driving. These are not failures of the same kind, but they land in public consciousness as a single narrative about whether this technology is ready.
The Warner Bros. AI Dog podcast Backlash is a story about cultural legitimacy as much as marketing strategy. The studio partnered with a generative AI-produced podcast in which dogs appear to discuss the end of Oak Street, the film being promoted. The response was immediate boycott calls from viewers who felt the use of generative AI content to promote a theatrical release crossed a line. The interesting question is where exactly that line is. Studios have used automation and outsourced marketing for decades. But there's something about generative AI specifically, perhaps the labor displacement it represents, perhaps the artificiality of the content, that triggers a qualitatively different reaction.
Katie Couric grading CBS a D for what she characterizes as caving to Trump administration pressure is a media industry story about editorial independence. Couric has been vocal about press freedom, and her public grading of a major network is itself a news event. The implicit argument is that commercial and regulatory pressure from the executive branch is shaping editorial decisions in ways that compromise journalistic integrity. Whether or not you agree with that diagnosis, the fact that a prominent former anchor is making it publicly reflects how sharp the debate about media independence has become.
Stockard Channing's comments about being happy as a recluse in London carry a specific kind of weight when they come from a celebrity of her era. She's describing a deliberate withdrawal from public life, not as defeat, but as preference, and doing so with apparent contentment. In a media environment where celebrity is aggressively monetized and reclusiveness is often pathologized, that framing is genuinely countercultural.
Now I want to spend a few minutes on something we've been circling all morning, which is the claim embedded in several of today's stories about what AI can and can't do. The most confident assertion that seems to be emerging from AI industry reporting right now, from the Gartner numbers, from the TSMC revenue, from every infrastructure investment story, is that AI adoption is on an irreversible upward trajectory, and that the competitive question is simply which companies and countries capture the most market share. I want to ask whether we're getting that right.
The counterargument starts with energy. Every major AI model requires substantial computational infrastructure, which requires power. The Texas grid moratorium on new data centers, the one that's forcing Permian Basin landowners to pitch off-grid solutions, exists because the grid literally cannot absorb the load that planned data centers would draw. If the energy constraint is real and durable, the adoption curve has a physical ceiling that the market forecasts aren't accounting for.
The 97% reflexive approval rate that Anthropic found in its Claude Code research is another angle on this. If developers are approving prompts without actually evaluating them, the apparent adoption of AI tools may be masking whether the tools are actually delivering value or just adding workflow steps that people rubber stamp because they seem inevitable. Real adoption would show up in productivity metrics. What we have right now are usage metrics, and those are different things.
If we're wrong about the irreversibility of AI adoption, here's what to watch for. Look for enterprise renewal rates on AI subscriptions at the 12 to 18 month mark. Initial adoption is cheap. Renewal decisions reflect actual ROI assessment. If we see meaningful churn, companies not renewing, that's the signal that the productivity case didn't close as expected. The Gartner prediction of 50% Chinese AI enterprise adoption by 2027 should be evaluated against that same lens. Adoption projected, but renewal rates will tell the real story.
The Reddit paradox points in the same direction. If AI tools are making their most important training data source less reliable by incentivizing spam optimized for AI consumption, there's a feedback loop here that degrades output quality over time. We might be assuming the AI content quality curve goes up when the underlying data quality curve is actually bending downward. That's the assumption worth stress testing.